The Apostle Paul apparently did not know the Christmas story, or if he did, he never made reference to it, but he did know the significance of it. He knew how important it was that Jesus was born, and in his day, that was the important thing, was that Jesus was born as all human children are born. We sometimes emphasize the angels and that this is the Son of God, but in his day, it was just as amazing and remarkable that the Savior of the world was the Son of Mary. So hear now the Word of God as it comes to us from Paul's letter to the Galatians and Paul's reference to the Christmas story. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we promised you a Christmas story this morning. And so the Christmas story I'm going to share with you is one that that we shared many Christmases ago. It was a strange end to a strange year, sitting in a strange church, watching people he did not know light Advent candles. He had surprised himself by going to church. He'd always gone to church for his wife's sake, and then for the kids, but never for himself, really. But now he had come to worship for his own sake. It wasn't even his church. His wife had wanted some space, she told him, after so many years of marriage, and it had caught him off guard. But after long conversations, he gave her the space she said she needed, and that was several months ago, and nothing much had happened since. He and his wife hardly talked these days, and on top of it all, now his daughter didn't seem to want to talk to him either. Was that because he had blown it as a father, or because she was 14? He couldn't tell. He didn't go to their church anymore, giving her space and all. But here he was in a different sanctuary looking for something. He wasn't sure what, but it was for his own benefit that he came. He felt depressed, to be sure, but not just about his own situation. His brother's Army Reserve unit had been called up for duty, and they'd be shipping out early in the new year. How could he complain about his own lot with his older brother heading off into harm's way? He felt a deep sadness, and he could not tell where his own loneliness stopped and his fear for his brother began. It was the third Sunday of Advent, and so they were lighting the joy candle, the pink one. Joy, he thought to himself. Joy is a feeling I haven't known in a long time. Despair. Yes, loneliness, to be sure. Fear, even. But joy? A smile flickered across his face. There was a little joy in store for him, after all. Next Saturday, he was going to the circus. Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, the big show under the big top. His son had asked him to go. Not too many 16-year-olds want to go to the circus. He'd taken his kids every year when they were little. Did his son remember how much his dad acted like a kid at the circus? Did his children remember that he had loved the circus when he was a boy? Did they remember that he had told his mother several times he was going to run away and join the circus? He read books about the circus, about how to learn the various skills. He'd wanted to be a lion tamer at first, but when he was five, the neighbor's cat hissed rather fiercely at him, and that was the end of that. Then he wanted to be a clown, one of the 18 that comes out of the little clown car in the center ring. But a growth spurt in the sixth grade made it clear that he would never fit into one of those cars. Most of all, he wanted to take up the flying trapeze, soaring above the crowd, flying without wings. That dream had never died. On Saturday, he was surprised to find his daughter joining them at the circus. She sat close by him as they waited for the show to begin, and he felt a childlike thrill when the arena went dark and the ringmaster directed their attention to the center ring and the greatest show on earth. It was still an incredible show, he thought. He thrilled to the lion tamers, he laughed out loud at the clowns, he got sticky fingers from cotton candy, and he sat motionless, holding his breath, as the men and women of the flying trapeze launched themselves into the darkness. How he envied the grace, the fluidity of the artists on the trapeze, the gentle arc of the swing, followed by the daring leap into space, only to be caught by one's partner, and then doing it over and over and over again to the delight of the crowd. His kids seemed to be watching their dad as much as the circus. And when it was over, they said together, "Merry Christmas, Dad." And the way they said it, he knew that they'd remembered that this trip to the circus had been for him. And that fatherly connection was still there after all. Even his daughter was smiling, and she didn't pull away when he hugged her goodbye. That night, he dreamt of the flying trapeze. But it was not a good dream. This time, he was the one who launched himself up into the darkness, leaving the security of the trapeze for the uncertainty of flight. Taking off was okay, but at that moment when gravity took over and he began to plummet toward the ground, then he could feel the pit in his stomach as he reached out for the arms that were not there. Grasping for hands he could not find, he felt the long plunge to the ground, and just before impact, the dream ended. And he woke in a cold sweat. The dream came every night in the week after the circus. Why did he keep dreaming this dream? Dreams represented unfinished business, he knew. But what was this one all about? Was there some message, some meaning he was missing? And he wasn't sure. On Christmas Eve, he came to his new church. He took a bulletin from an unknown usher, found a place in a strange pew. He was surprised and glad to find his son and then his daughter slipping into the pew next to him. The carols, they were lovely as always. The story, of course, familiar, yet perhaps a little fresh, a little new this year. The promised child born in a manger, the simple faith of Mary and Joseph, the worship of the poor shepherds and the journey of the Magi. He was struck in a way he hadn't before, how in Bethlehem of Judea, the God who created the earth and the heavens had become a human child, vulnerable to the very world that he had made. It was a leap into the unknown God had taken, not knowing if anyone would receive the child born in Bethlehem. The image of God leaping from heaven to earth reminded him of the dream. What is it about the trapeze, he wondered. Why did he dream of nothing else all week long? And then, in the candlelight of Christmas Eve, in the silence of the moment, it came to him. Something he'd read long ago in one of those circus books came to mind as the candles in the sanctuary were lit one by one. There were two very different artists on the flying trapeze, he had learned. One was the flyer, the other the catcher. And the flyer launches himself into the air, defying gravity for a time, and then extends his outstretched arms for the catcher to grasp. But the great star of the trapeze, he learned, is the catcher. He has to be there with split-second precision. The secret is that the flyer does nothing, and the catcher does everything. And the worst thing the flyer can do is to try to catch the catcher. A flyer must fly, he had learned, and the catcher must catch. And the flyer must trust with his outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him. The candlelight was being passed near now, illuminating each face. And that's it, he thought, as his daughter's candle lit his own. We are all flyers, and Christ is our catcher. And we only need to let ourselves be caught. He realized it didn't matter whether you were a soldier in peril or a soul in pain. We all fall into the arms of grace. He turned to his son, passing on the flame, passing on something more than fire. A gentle smile broke free across his face, a smile like the one he'd worn at the circus, except that this one was here to stay. That night he dreamed again, flying toward the heavens, but this time, at the moment when gravity took over, he did not flail for unseen arms. He did not panic when those arms did not emerge from the darkness. Instead, this time he calmly reached up his hands and left them there in simple faith. Not right away, but at just the right time, he saw hands reaching for his own. Hands that at first seemed to be the hands of a child, but then clearly became the hands of an adult. And just before those hands grasped his, he saw an imprint in the palm, the mark of a wound that had healed. And he knew for sure, that he had fallen into the arms of grace. He woke on Christmas morning with that same gentle smile on his face and joy in his heart. Pray with me. O Lord, this Christmas, may we fall into the arms of grace. We pray in the name of the child of Bethlehem, the child who is no longer a child, but the Savior of the world. Amen.